This morning, we continue our series through the Sermon on the Mount. And so far, we have seen how a Christian finds true happiness by their utter dependence on Jesus Christ. And we have begun to see how those Christians then live for Jesus. First, by loving their enemies. And now we see how they live differently in this utterly dark and decaying world. Jesus calls the disciples to live as salt and light in a world that is decaying and dark. One writer from Crew, which is a campus ministry, she says, "Look around you. Turn on the TV. Read the tweets. It's rather evident that something is not right in our world. In fact, something must be broken. The earthquakes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, the Twin Towers, hunger, pollution, threats of nuclear war, terrorism, mass shootings, greed, genocide. You can't escape the pressing reality that this is not a perfect world. We have talked much about the suffering, the brokenness, and the utter depravity of the world in which we live. But today we talk about, in the midst of this, what does God call us to live like? We see this in two simple ways. He calls us to be salt and to be light in the world. So first, salt. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." In this verse, he calls Christians the salt of the earth, but then exhorts against losing saltiness, as then it will no longer be good for anything. So how are we salt, and how can we keep our saltiness? There are two fundamental purposes that salt serves through, and we have seen these through most of the Beatitudes, but I would suggest that Jesus likely has in mind here both uses. We've seen in the Beatitudes that each one of the things that he is talking about has various meanings. But what Jesus is really getting at is all of them at once. So here in talking about saltiness, he is talking about both purposes at the same time. Salt is used to give or to add flavor, and it is used to preserve that which is to keep it from decaying. One writer says, "Plausible arguments can be made for each of these associations in explaining the present salt metaphor. But to emphasize a single association, as in one of its uses, is to surpass the text itself and to allegorize it." He says, "Since it is virtually impossible now to know which of the uses Jesus would have had in mind and the readers would have most readily heard, it is best simply to take the metaphor broadly and inclusively as meaning something that is vitally important to the world." Something that is vitally important to the world in this religious sense, as salt was vitally necessary for everyday life. Salt is something that is essential to the world and to Christians living in the world today. A few of you may know that I am a fan of the Florida Gators. Many of you probably think that's rather unfortunate. And that's okay. I have long been a Florida Gators fan and long been hated by many of my dearest friends because of that. In fact, my family are all Tennessee fans, and so I've had to be different from everybody else. But it is what it is. But there is one good thing that has happened in the history of Florida Gator football, and that is the introduction of Gatorade. In 1965, doctors were looking for a solution to prevent dehydration and the muscle cramps and things that go along with dehydration amidst the Florida heat. The doctors, led by Dr. Robert Cade, set out to solve this problem and so developed a drink that would restore essential nutrients which were being lost, and thus Gatorade was born. And then in 1966, the Gators went on to win the Orange Bowl. Not because they were good, but because they drank the Gatorade. If you were to look at the ingredients of Gatorade or any electrolyte drink for that matter, you would find one of those essential ingredients is sodium or salt, because it is essential for helping the body to take in and to utilize the liquids which we are consuming. And as we know, this world that we live in, as well as our own bodies, is largely made up of water, and thus this shows us how essential salt is to the existence, to our existence. And thus when Jesus tells us that as Christians we are to live as the salt of the earth, he means that we are to be in the world. Being salt in the world means that God uses us to cause the gospel or truth of Jesus Christ to be effective in the world. Just as the sodium enables the water to go into our body and be useful, as Christians, being salt in the world means that God uses us to help his truth, his gospel message, to go out and be effective in the world. Another author says Jesus is apparently thinking of the function of salt as a preservative, as the enemy of decay, and is giving taste to food. What is good in society, his followers keep wholesome. What is corrupt, they oppose. They penetrate society for good and act as a kind of moral antiseptic. And they give a tang to life like salt to a dish of food. This suggests that Christians in today's world help prevent the decaying of our world and to add some goodness. In other words, God uses us to prevent bad things and false truth from taking root and making a negative impact in the world, but then also to add some goodness wherever he or she, the Christian, lives and finds themselves. Not only is the Christian to be salt in the world, but the Christian is also called to be light. Verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. In John 8, Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This teaches us that the world is full of darkness and evil, but Jesus is different. He shines light on the darkness and is the light of all of life. One writer says that Christ himself is the light, and his followers are no more than pointers to or reflectors of that light. There was an eclipse the other night. Did anybody stay up and watch that? I got to watch it. I always watch these things. Like, if I hear they're at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I'm setting an alarm. I'm amazed at things like that in God's creation. And my wife is like, "That's dumb. I'm not standing up for that." But I am fascinated by these things. And I think the eclipse is kind of a good illustration in relation to this. The sun provides the main light for the earth, right? We go out and we see, and there's light outside right now, and it's because the sun is shining. While the moon we see at night is simply a reflection of that light. And then as we watch the eclipse and the earth blocked that a portion of that light, and so the moon went dark because the sun's light didn't get all the way to the moon. In our world, Jesus is the light. And we are like the moon reflecting the light of the world. But sometimes things get in the way and may block some of that light. The purpose of the light is to shine light on the whole world. Light shows truth from falsehood, good from evil, real from fake, clean from dirty. As soon as I graduated from high school, I started out my college experience at Pensacola Christian College. Pensacola Christian College is known, it is notorious for its rules. Rules such as boys walk on one side of the road, girls walk on the other side of the road. All guys had to wear suits up until lunchtime. Girls had to wear dresses or skirts that went down past their knees. You were not allowed to go on dates. You were not allowed to look at a girl. If you were a boy, you're not allowed to look at a girl in the eye for too long because that was bad. And an enormous amount of rules, including they had room checks to make sure that your room was spotless and clean. So once a week, every Saturday, the RAs would go through the room with a spotlight and white glove. And this would shine a light on all that was good and not so good, revealing even the smallest amounts of dust or fingerprints, and then give people the demerits that they deserved. I received some of those in the short time that I was at Pensacola Christian. Jesus is the ultimate light of the world, revealing all that is good and evil in our world. And we reflect this light in order to convict of evil and to bring about goodness. Another use of that light is to shine the light on the path which we are to go. Some of you are my age or older, and I'm sure many of you have experienced playing outside after dark. This is not a thing that most of our kids get to experience today, because we are worried that they might run into a tree or something of that kind of thing. But back in the day, we got to go play outside, and sometimes we even got to stay out after dark. Growing up, it was the rule that when the street lights came on, it was time to be home. But sometimes when we were out with family or out in the country more so, we would get to go play outside with our cousins, and we would play these games like hide and seek and kick the can. And it was great fun running around in the darkness. However, as you're running around in the darkness, the moon is your primary source of light. And the moon doesn't quite give enough light for you to see everything, particularly as you're running in through the woods and the trees and the bushes, but it gives just enough light that you could see the path where there is a clearing of trees and bushes, because there is a pathway that that light is able to reach. As Christians, we are to be like this reflection. We don't give clear light on the whole world like the sun does, but we reflect the light that people in the darkness may see the right path and ultimately find that way to the clearing where they step out and see the beauty of the true light. One commentator says, "The disciple who is visibly different from other men will have an effect on them. But the aim of his good works is not to parade his own virtue, but to direct attention to the God who inspired them. By so doing, the disciple will give light to all." Jesus is preeminently the light of the world. And our goal as Christians is to be different than the world in all the ways that we have seen thus far, and especially in the ways that we are going to see coming up. And thus, we shine a light, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the true light, Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for giving to us Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the light of the world, that shines a light on all of the good and the bad. Lord, and because of Jesus' life and death, because of his goodness, Lord, we are able to find truth. We are able to find our way. We are able to walk in your ways, Lord, and we are able to be just a little bit of a reflection of who you are. But Lord, we pray that by your Spirit that you will help us to more and more be a good reflection of who you are, Lord, so that we may be a light in this world. Lord, and that we may be salt that doesn't lose its saltiness by keeping keeping good things good and adding goodness into this world and keeping this world from decaying by steering people away from the bad things. But Lord, we know we can only do this with your help, with the help of your Spirit. So we pray that you will help us to walk in your ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.